Hello, 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 football fans. It is back in the air. Football season is almost on its way. And if you're surprised by who's speaking, yes, it is me. It is Marcus, right back into the studio. Luke is gone. He's right now touring colleges, but yet he's still putting some work in this podcast. The owner of this always stays active. He sent me his list, which I could go over, but I made a few minor tweaks because I feel like I've been more updated while he's been gone for the last couple weeks. I've been gone. I had my trip to Toronto, but besides all that, a lot has been happening in the sports world, and we're getting up, we're getting motivated, and we are inspired. Shout out to Luke. Hope he's doing well with his family. So, without further ado, a lot of football's been going on, well, a lot of football news. There's been fights at football practices. There's been our first preseason game, which was kind of boring. Not a lot of action. So, when Luke gets back, we'll also be going over some of the fantasy football predictions, as fantasy football is almost on its way too, and the start of preseason is starting just in a couple days. So, today we'll be covering all the divisions, all of my predictions, and hear me out. A lot of them are, this year, really based on major factors on the field. Maybe a position, maybe major switches, so there, you cannot constantly have a right list when it comes to having football predictions. Basketball is different, because basketball, they kind of stick with their own roster, because it's a smaller roster, while football, you have 60-something guys fighting for a job, and you never know when one of them is going to get injured in a contact sport like this. So, without further ado, I'll give you my updated rankings for this season, and I feel like with preseason around the corner, it feels like a right time in the sense that we can look at outside the aspect of the offseason being over, and we're moving actually into the football phase. So, without further ado, let's start off with the AFC North. Now, the AFC North has had some major changes, which I'll bring up. You had the Bengals making it all the way to the Super Bowl, making a great shot at it. No one really expected them to go that far, and they really took it, and they almost got it. So, this year, I have the Bengals going in the first place spot in the NFC North, going 12-5. Because when you think about it, they have not changed anything about their roster except add back two additions. Last season, they got a lot of hate for not drafting linemen like Penei Sewell, and they got Ja'Marr Chase. But now Ja'Marr Chase is now a top 5 to 10 wide receiver in the NFL in just his second year. And now offensive line, the situation's out of the question as they made a Super Bowl run. So this year, they added two huge linemen. One was Lael Collins, the ex-Dallas Cowboy. He was backing up Dak Prescott, who a lot of could say that was a top five offensive line in the offseason. His sack average was at an all-time low, and he was a big part, young guy. And now you have Alex Kappa, the guy protecting Tom Brady. And if you don't remember, Tom Brady made a playoff run and a Super Bowl win just a couple years back with Alex Kappa there. So, with all of that, you look at the aspect as in they now have a good offensive line, they kept their defense, which was very solid, and they also now have Ja'Marr Chase, which they have T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, and Burrow, and the only problem I would see is the surgery Burrow's having, but it's been reported that he's doing well and healthy, and he could be a top five quarterback by the end of this year. So, that's a clear cut, the Bengals. See, that's the thing about some teams. When you have a team that can really go just up, can really improve from the last season they had, that's a team that's going to win the division. The team that only has wins, not losses, when it comes to the offseason. So, I have Bengals coming in first, and then the Ravens coming in at the second spot. Now, a lot of people will be surprised because, you know, you lost Marquise Brown, your number one wide receiver. You know, some question Lamar Jackson's, you know, skills or his potential on a team where he really doesn't really know how to command an offense as well. But I think Lamar is due to have a breakout. J.K. Dobbins is back, and J.K. Dobbins was putting up great numbers before the injury, and now he's back with having some of that backfield depth with Gus Edwards too. So the defense is also reestablished. You have Kyle Hamilton and David Ajobo. So Kyle Hamilton's arguably one of the best safeties in the draft. And they got that stud David Ajobo at the edge, kind of a steal. So I feel like the Ravens can go at an easy 11-6. You have Lamar having Rashad Bateman, who's due for a breakout year. He had a great year. Then you have also Mark Andrews, a top three tight end in the league. Well, maybe top four. You're due for a breakout for Lamar. And I think the Ravens team's just going to be on a whole nother level because they have something to prove after that terrible playoff performance last year. Okay, so now we go into this tricky part. We're going to talk about two teams who I think are really close to each other. The Browns I have coming at 8-9. Now, this is one of the factors I mentioned. It all depends on Watson. Now, Deshaun Watson signed the second highest paid contract as a quarterback, if I'm correct. He signed a $230 million contract, including a $44 million bonus. So the Browns pretty much spent their whole franchise money on him. Then you have Amari Cooper, who's a huge impact for the Cowboys. And now he goes over to the Browns where they need him most, you know? Like, they had Donovan Peoples-Jones, they had Jarvis Landry as their starting wide receivers, and now they have the dude who had, in 2020 and 2019, he had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and 5-plus touchdowns. And just last year, for the Cowboys, he had 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, even with CeeDee Lamb there. So Amari Cooper is not just, you know, a small wide receiver add-on. He's a starter. He's going to be their tier one wide receiver. And I think that's huge. And then they have that elite backfield of Kareem Hunt and Chubb, both running backs who are notoriously known for having the best duo in the NFL. And now there's also something that you have to bring into the factor that Kareem Hunt requested a trade just yesterday. Because when you have a duo where Chubb rushes for 1,000 yards, then Hunt rushing for only for 800, just very narrowly behind him, you got to think that Hunt is, you know, starter caliber. He's not just a guy you look at and you say, he's going to be the Zach Moss to my Devin Singletary. He's going to be kind of like Chase Edmonds to James Conner last year. No, this guy is starter caliber. In his rookie year, he had 1,000 yards, and then 800 the next year, and then after, you know, the suspension, he went to the Browns. So this guy, he's not just going to shy away from a backup job where he knows his worth. I think Kareem Hunt is going to be a top-tier running back if he goes to a team where he has a starting job. So that's the Browns, you know. It's very risky, but I feel like if they keep all their players, if Watson's only down to 6 games, you can have Brissett have some veteran, maybe veteran knowledge, veteran gameplay, get a few wins out of those 6 games, and then have Watson pick up and just bring the Browns into almost 500 before the end of the season. So I have the Browns coming at 8-9. But finally at the Steelers. But here's the thing about the Steelers. I don't think they're going to be a bad team. I just think the Steelers are very young. They're kind of starting off now with a total new era with Mitch Trubisky signing. And then you also have Kenny Pickett doing well in camp. So you're going to have a quarterback, you know, kind of like quarterback handoff, you know. You're going to have to just think. And you also have Najee Harris, who had one of the best rookie seasons last year. He had 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns, and also had 74 receptions. So this guy was legit. He really helped Ben Roethlisberger, who couldn't even throw past 25 yards. So now put him with a new rookie quarterback battling out with a veteran. You have a team that could show a lot of promise, but I just don't think they'll make it far in a division where there's a lot of offensive superpower, offensive high-caliber throwing, like if Watson plays. So I just don't think they would be able to keep up offensively. Defensively, you have Miles Jack coming back to a new team. Then you also have TJ Watt. And you're just picking up where you left off with the defense. However, the offense is going to be a new thing. You're going to have to try out. If Deontay Johnson signs back, this record might change. But you also have George Pickens, who's also doing a tear in camp. But this is just a lot of new, young kind of faces into the group, and you never know what can happen. So I'm going to have them go at 8-9 for now. I feel like they're going to show promise, but, you know, with young teams, it's really hard to just make a first playoff run. So overall, I have Bengals, Ravens, Browns, Steelers. Now in the AFC South, a lot of new add-ons. You had Matt Ryan, the ex-Super Bowl appearance for the Falcons. He led them there. Of course, they fell short. He's had one of the most consistent... Whoa, as my mic falls, I'm so sorry. As he's had one of the most consistent throwing seasons any quarterback has had. He's had, I think, about 11 seasons. Yeah, no, 13 seasons where he's thrown over 3,000 yards throwing. And 11 of those seasons were 4,000 yards. So this guy, he's never really fallen under, you know, a ratio like Jacoby Brissett or like, say, Daniel Jones, where he's throwing as much tight ends as interceptions. Like, this guy's legit. And I think with a legit quarterback, the Colts can make a really deep run. Think about it. They've had, you know, players like Phillip Rivers, who was just there for retirement, and then Jacoby Brissett as quarterback. They haven't had a really stud quarterback since Andrew Luck. So now having a veteran like Matt Ryan come into the mix, they're due to break out. Along with Jonathan Taylor, who was the rushing leader last year, and also was an MVP candidate. So Jonathan Taylor had 1,000 yards rushing, 1,800, 18 touchdowns, and he was also in the mix with 40 receptions. So this guy, when you have a tier 1 running back, you now have a quarterback who can consistently throw for thousands of yards this season. You're going to have a team that's going to make it deep into the season. And also, you have Alec Pierce. You know, the wide receivers have been a little iffy for the Colts the past years, but Alec Pierce has been lighting it up in camp. He's shown to be the number 2 guy with Pittman as 1. And Pittman's going to be more like the Julio for Matt Ryan. You know, big body, he's quick, he's agile. He can really have a deep threat. And I think that's going to be the story for it this year. They finally pick up the pieces. And with the addition of Stephon Gilmore, with Kenny Moore, with Darius Leonard, whole lot of other players, you're due to have a winning team, and I think this team's going to win the division. Moving on, we have the Tennessee Titans. I have them coming at 9-8, just one game behind the Colts, who come at 10-7. With Derrick Henry back to normal, I think they could really kind of pick up where they left off again and kind of, you know, have that winning mentality, winning team like they had the past few years. However, you know, with Malik Willis and Ryan Tannehill in the mix, I feel like if they take a couple losses, they're going to really start to switch between quarterbacks. And I don't know if that's never really a good case in the NFL when you go between quarterbacks, because then you have one performance from one quarterback, then the next performance, and, you know, it turns into not having stability, and stability wins championships, people. So I have them coming at 9-8. I don't think they're going to be as good, because they lost key aspects like A.J. Brown. They also, you know, they had a lot of, you know, they had a lot of motivation last year, but now they realize Ryan Tannehill is getting older. He's not the guy to do it. So they bring in Malik Willis so Ryan Tannehill can, you know, pass on some knowledge. But I just don't think they're going to make it far. Robert Woods is a good veteran addition. He is back after that huge injury last year for the Rams. So I think he can be a breakout player, along with Treylon Burks, who's also been reportedly doing amazing in camp. But that's the thing about a Titans team. You're in an AFC South that are the weak. You have two weak teams, but then one strong team, and they always battle out, the Titans and the Colts, the Titans and the Colts. And every year, I feel like the Colts just show more promise than the Titans. And this year, the Colts definitely have more promise now that they have a new quarterback. Now they have an elite cornerback, too. So I just feel like the Tennessee Titans are going to fall just short, just like the Colts did last year. I have them coming at 9-8. Now for the Jaguars. Treylon Walker, he did show hope in that preseason game. He did show that he wasn't a bust. He made some key tackles. He showed that athleticism. He showed that speed. But then you also have Travis Etienne back and offers help in the backfield along with James Robinson. So takes off some pressures off of Trevor Lawrence's shoulders. And then you also have 5-time Pro Bowler Brandon Scherff being in the mix to help, you know, that line after having a terrible season last year. The only issue I had with them was they signed Christian Kirk to a humongous deal, who I think is a great wide receiver. However, when you want to be an elite team, you gotta sign elite players. And I don't think Christian Kirk is an elite player. But he's a great player, and I think he's gonna do great with them because he offers some speed. He offers like a deep threat for, you know, Trevor Lawrence. And they also got Evan Ingram. So you gotta have some young guys. You have some young help. But I just don't think this year's their year again. You know, after being a 3-4 team win the past few years, I feel like they're gonna step it up. But they're still going to fall a bit short. So 7-10 seems fair. Fair for a team, a losing team like them. Next, I have the Texans. And the Texans, originally, I was going to go 5-12. But I think they're going to go 3-14 this year. Because there's nothing much to say. After John Menchie got diagnosed with cancer, I just feel like all of their hopes really crumpled down. However, they do have Stingley, who is their first-round pick, who could help with defense. They don't really have any future. Davis Mills was a great young quarterback last year, but when you have Brandon Cooks as your only receiver and your running back depth being endless, but there's no elite running backs, I don't see them making it far because of how much depth they have, but no stars on the team. So 3-14 seems fair for a team that really gave up a lot for Watson, but didn't really excel with what they got. So, overall, I have Colts at 10-7, Titans at 9-8, Jaguars at 7-10, and Texans at 3-14. Moving on, here's one of my favorite divisions this year. The Buffalo Bills, my Super Bowl favorite, 14-3. You know, just like the Bengals, they kept everyone, but they added someone to really help them out. They added Von Miller. Their secondary was great last year. They had Tre'Davious White. They had Micah Hyde. They had really good players. However, they just didn't really have a lot of, you know, rushers. They didn't have a lot of, you know, pressure on the quarterback. And I think Von Miller is going to help that out. Josh Allen's in his prime, and no one's going to stop him. It's Josh Allen battling against the world right now, and I think he's winning this battle. Keeping Diggs, Gabe Davis showing a lot of potential, obviously from that Chiefs game, where he scored multiple touchdowns, over 150 yards receiving. This guy could be elite. And then you have James Cook, who can offer a real backfield future. You know, James Cook was awesome in college. He was speedy. He had some, you know, he was just like how you want a running back to be for Josh Allen. He could catch the ball, but he, instead of Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, he makes plays with them, as my mic falls down again. But never shying away, the Bills have going in at first place with 14-3, and I think they're really just going to step up this year. You know, last year they were a great team. This year they're going to be Super Bowl team. Sean McDermott knows what to do with this team, and after that loss last year, by pretty much you could say a coin toss, I think this year they could lead the way. Now we move into the Dolphins, 10-7, and this is another team that it all comes down to the quarterback. Tua and Hill, what could go wrong? Waddle was great last season, and they could really make a big impact into this AFC this year. They've had a questionable backfield, but their offense is top 5 caliber potential this year. With having Chase Edmonds, who can offer some real receptions in the backfield, along with some speed and agility, you could have a team that could be winning if it all comes down to Tua. Because then again, Tua Tagovailoa was also known as Tua Turn the Ball Over. Last year, he had 10 interceptions and only 2,000 yards, 2,600. The year before, he was even more, 1,800 yards, along with 5 interceptions. He hasn't been very impressive, so if this year, he's kind of playing for his job. And I think this year's for him to prove it. So I have him going at 10-7, and then the Pats come next. And here's the thing about the Patriots. They've always been a great team, but there's nothing super special about them this year. They are ranked the slowest pace offense in the NFL, and are the weakest link in probably one of the best divisions in the NFL. They have a team like the Dolphins, who got Tyreek Hill. They have a team like Josh Allen, who almost made a Super Bowl run last year. And the Jets, I wouldn't count them away, even though I have them ranked low. The Jets could really jump up on the Patriots. Although I'm saying they're not going to make the playoffs, I'm saying they could jump the Patriots because of how low-level the Patriots are to me. The wide receivers consist of nobodies, really. Devontae Parker, the ex-Dolphin, I think he's like 30-something years old. And then you also have Nelson Agholor. I'm sorry if I butchered that name, but their backfield is alright. Now, their backfield could save it. Damian Harris had a monster year last year. And they also have Mac Jones, who's one of the most promising second-year quarterbacks this year. However, if you can't give a promising quarterback promising players to go alongside him, I just don't see him making going really far this year. Damian Harris is my only hope for that team, as he has 900 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns. Monster last year. The workload was excellent, and now they have Ramondre Stevenson in the backfield to really help that pass-catching offense speed up. But I just don't think the Patriots are going to be as good as the top two teams I just mentioned. I have them coming at 9-8, however, because I feel like they're going to be a winning team under Bill Belichick. But next, moving on, I have the Jets. Now, the Jets are going to go 6-11 in my heart. You know, you have big hope with Zach Wilson and Garrett Wilson, and that could really ignite offense. And Breece Hall, he could be a breakout star. In college, he was a monster, and I think for the Jets, he could really change the tide. He could really, you know, make Michael Carter show that he wasn't a bust. Make Michael Carter really step up his own game, so both of them could really fight for their job, and the Jets could win games off of that. Sauce Gardner's also there, so they have a lot of potential, but I just think they're too young to really beat out these other teams, because these other teams know what they've done. They've known their failures, and they're going to move on from that. The Jets, I think, are just young, and I think they're going to show promise, but they're not going to make it. I'm going 6-11, and now this ends up with the Bills 14-13, Dolphins 10-7, Patriots 9-8, and Jets 6-11. Moving on, the best for last, the Chargers and the AFC West. Now, the Chargers are going to go 12-5. I think after that devastating loss to the Raiders last year to miss the playoffs, Herbert's going to have a revenge season, MVP season for him, I think. You kept Mike Williams, you kept Keenan Allen, both who were yard demons. Keenan Allen was one of the highest targeted wide receivers last year. Then you have Austin Eckler, one of the best dual threat running backs, probably the best dual threat running back in the league. They're going to do damage. With Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa on one defensive line, these guys aren't just going to give you offensive hurt. They're going to bring the defense. They're going to bring the pressure. These guys got J.C. Jackson. These guys got Derwin James. They have so many defensive stars to complement that offensive side. This year, it's going to be hard for them to lose. I think they're going to go 12-5. And I think they're just going to beat out all the West of the AFC teams, because not only they have one of the best offenses, if not the best offense, maybe with the Raiders, they have one of the best defenses, hands down, in this division. Moving on, I have the Chiefs going at 11-6. You know, losing Tyreek Hill, probably the most explosive wide receiver in the NFL, and their secondary getting sliced up in half last season, and they had nothing to do to really improve it this season, I just think they're not going to be as good as last season, but it's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. They got Juju Smith. They got Sky Moore. They have wide receivers to really back up the loss. However, I just don't think their defense is going to kind of pick it up like they kind of did last year. So I think the Chiefs are going to come just short, but yet, if it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they're still going to make it far. So I have them going 11-6. Next is the Raiders. Now, the Raiders are really a wild card, like, wild team this year to really guess, because you have Chandler Jones and Max Crosby on one defensive line. Then you have Devontae Adams teaming up with his teammate, Derek Carr, college teammate. So, it's going to be a crazy season for them. They have Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, who is the best wide receiver in the NFL. It's so hard to think what Derek Carr is going to do with that ball this year, because he can run it to a running back who's proven as a great running back. He can throw it to a wide receiver who's consistently getting, you know, receptions, getting catches, putting impacts on the defense. That's Hunter Renfrow. And they have a top three tight end in Darren Waller. So it's going to be weird to see what they how they handle all this offensive power this year. So I have them going at 10-7, but I just think it's going to take them one or two years to really figure out what they want to do with all this offensive superpower. Finally, I have the Broncos coming at 9-8. With Tim Patrick tearing his ACL, and, you know, Russell Wilson coming to the team, there's not a lot he can work with. With Jerry Jeudy, who's, and Courtland Sutton, who's had both not the greatest years, I just think that their team is nothing special. Jeudy has only had 3 touchdowns in his NFL career in 2 years, and Sutton has been dealing with injuries for the past, I want to say, 2 to 3 years, so Russell Wilson's really going to have to pick something up with this team. And Javonte Williams, he leads the NFL in broken tackles. He is going to be, if not the most explosive running back this year, he has so much potential. I just think they're going to be the weakest link in the strongest division, as I said. They're gonna finish with a winning record. I just don't think they're going to be able to beat out other powers like Chargers, Chiefs, and Raiders. I'm coming at 9-8, so I think overall, this AFC West team, we could see all of them in the playoffs. Well, maybe the Broncos, discluding the Broncos, but these guys, this is going to be the division to watch this year. Now, moving on to the NFC. We start off with the NFC North. Vikings. Vikings fans, get ready. Shout out to Jacob. Koka Jefferson coming back with Kirk Cousins shows that they're ready to really come back harder than ever. They kept Adam Thielen. They finally made some defensive moves, fixing the line with Za'Darius Smith. They got Booth as a rookie. They also still have Harrison Smith. Their defense is going to be awesome this year, and I think that offense is also going to be start churning its wheels to really become a winning team. And not just, first-round exit, second-round exit. They're going to be a team, I think, that could go to the divisional championship. I think they're going to go at 11-6, and although I'm going to never hear it from my friend again if he hears this, I think the Vikings are a team that are slept upon this season. And Kirk Cousins is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFC. I mean, this guy can really air the ball out. Although he has a lot of talent, he should be doing better. Look at his last 2 years. 4,000 yards, 30-plus touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of over 100. This guy's not just good, he's phenomenal. And I think once, Justin Jefferson can get more comfortable and this guy can air it out more, it's going to be hard for this team to lose. I have them going 11-6, and now comes the tricky part. I have the Packers at 10-7, because Rodgers, he reported in camp that he's really becoming close-knitted with his wide receivers, like Romeo Doubs, Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, Christian Watson. He really says he really got to know each wide receiver, and they're going to have a different energy level this season. With the backfield of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, where they left off, I think this team could pack a punch. But it all comes down to how Rodgers responds to losing Davante Adams with these new receivers. And I think they've done it before with Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson. I think they do it again with these new receivers. And Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back MVP, I think he's going to come back for a three-peat. I have him coming at 10-7, and now is a huge gap. The Lions coming in at 6-11. With getting more talent with Aiden Hutchinson with their first pick, and Penei Sewell helping him practice as an ex-first-round pick, I think they have potential, along with DeAndre Swift, who put up a top-10 running back performance last year. I think the issue is their quarterback. They have to address Jared Goff not producing like they thought he would. The signing of DJ Chark felt useless to me, as Jared Goff needs someone he could really throw to, like he had Robert Woods, like he had Cooper Kupp, like he had many, Todd Gurley, you could even say. I just think Goff is really, he expects more from a team that is going to take a few years to get more. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the one guy who could be amazing. I feel like he's going to be consistent for this team who lacks of wide receiver depth. Along with TJ Hawkinson, I think these guys can come in at 6-11. But like I said, they're in rebuilding phase right now. Dan Campbell already chose to be the coach that's going to stay through bad years. So I think these guys are going to have a better season, but they're just not going to cut it in the division that has Jefferson, Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook. And finally, you have the Bears. Probably the worst team besides the Texans this year. No real future. Fields has no help. And Byron Pringle and N'Keal Harry have both suffered injuries in camp that the Bears coaches are worried about. They didn't really make a splash into the offseason like we thought they would. David Montgomery's their only shine, but running back doesn't win championships. Running back does not push you to the playoffs. I just think the Bears are going to come short at 4-13. We'll move on to the NFC South. Coming in at first, the Bucks 12-5. With Brady coming back with Godwin, Evans, and signing Julio Jones, these guys are going to be explosive. Along with Leonard Fournette having a career, one of his best seasons he's had since Jacksonville, I think these guys could really show some elite offensive production. Although, they did lose Ryan Jensen, which was a big blow to Brady, I think Leonard Fournette's going to produce with that 800 season like he had 8 touchdowns. And then this gives more of a reason to Brady to really throw the ball out. Two wide receivers who's put up consistent 1,000-yard seasons. And then Julio Jones, who's known as probably a top 15 to 20 wide receiver of all time. These guys are going to show why veterans win championships. They're coming in at 12-5. Next, I have the Panthers. And this is going to be a surprise. This is my dark horse. You have Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold battling out, showing the best of each other. DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson reported doing amazing in practice with both of them. And CMC coming back. Their offense is coming together, people. And if they can really pick up with the Bucks and the Saints' high-powered offense, I think these guys could really have a winning season. Especially with there's weak teams in the NFC. You have the Giants, like my team. You have the Falcons. You have the Bears. You have the Lions. So these guys could really just use those pity wins as a chance to become a winning team. Although Ikem, their number one pick, the offensive line, seems to not be NFL ready, according to the coach Matt Rhule, I think these guys are going to be top-tier offense this season. I have them coming in at 9-8. Now for the Saints. After having Jameis Winston have a season-ending injury, and Alvin Kamara facing battery and was arrested, he could face a late season suspension after the court hearing was pressed back. This team I have starting off hot, but then that suspension of Alvin Kamara is going to really hurt them. And Michael Thomas is back, but it all comes down to how well he plays. So this team is very questionable, but I have him coming in at 7-10. I just have a feeling that it's going to be a lot of stuff they have to pick up, address the quarterback, address the running back situation, address Michael Thomas coming back. I think the one bright spot's going to be their defense. They had one of the best defenses last year, Cameron Jordan, Lattimore, and now they added Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. Their defense is going to be a top 5 defense in the NFC. I just don't think they're going to be more like the Colts, where they have a lot of potential, but they really need to prove that with a coach who could really address all their situations. Next, I have the Falcons, coming in at 5-12 in last place. With their quarterbacks being Marcus Mariota as their starter, I just don't think this team... I think they're in full rebuild mode. They got Drake London, they got Kyle Pitts, future generational talents. I just don't think they're a team to really produce offensive numbers, to really produce defensive numbers, too. I just think they're going to be 5-12. There's nothing really you could do to fix this team besides rebuild it, besides take it slow, adjust some things, but slowly over time. So in a few years, people like Drake and Pitts could really be the leaders, could be the guys to know what to do to win games. So I have them coming in at 5-12 last place. And we'll move on to the NFC East. I have the Eagles coming in at 10-7. With Hurts finally getting some more backup with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith had his 1,000-yard season. Hurts showed some potential, but it all comes down to him. When you add an elite wide receiver like A.J. Brown, who did damage with Ryan Tannehill, having amazing, stellar season, putting up numbers like 2 back-to-back 1,000-yard years, and then an 800-yard year for Tennessee, all 3 of his seasons had 5-plus touchdowns this year. When you mix him in with a young quarterback who has a top-5 offensive line where they signed everyone back this season, they're going to do some damage. And then you also got Hassan Reddick and N'Kobe Dean, along with James Bradbury in that secondary, with Darius Slay. This team's elite. If they could really show that, if they could present it with their offense, their defense is going to handle all the rest. And I think they're going to really show that this season, coming in at 10-7. Now, the Cowboys are a questionable team. You have Dak and CeeDee Lamb, who are going to be the explosive duo this year. But it all comes down to another rookie, and that's Jalen Tolbert. Apparently, he's doing amazing in camp. But you need someone to really complement CeeDee's explosiveness. And I think Jalen Tolbert's the man to do it. Because CeeDee Lamb, he's going to bring a lot of defensive attention. So Dak's going to have to throw it to someone else. And I think Jalen Tolbert's the man. He has size. He has athleticism. And he could really make those tough catches like CeeDee Lamb. So I think these guys could really be end zone threats this year. And I have him coming in at 9-8. Along with Anthony Barr and signing back Van Der Esch, one of their defensive captains, this team is really going to show a new level of Cowboys football. And maybe make a run for the playoffs this year. Next, coming in at 7-10, I have the Washington Commanders. With Jahan Dotson being taught by Captain Terry McLaurin, they could pack a punch. Now that a quarterback maybe worth a starting job is there, Carson Wentz. People forget that this man once led a team to the Super Bowl. People forget that this man once was a top 10 quarterback in the league for the Eagles. Like, he had amazing years. Especially in 2017 for the Eagles. 3,000 yards, 33 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions. Although in 2020 for the Eagles, he had a tough go. I think this year he could finally do something for this team. And I think although they're not going to make a playoff run, they can finally be a 7-plus win team this season. With Chase Young on the defense, I think these guys are going to do something. 7-10. Coming in at last, sadly, folks, is the New York Giants. With all the new signings of coaches, like Brian Daboll, like Kafka, like Joe Shane, the new GM, I think it's just going to be a very rebuild year for them. You have Evan Neal, you have Thibodeau, you have Saquon playing for his contract, and I really, really hope he does something well. Reports at camp are he's doing amazing. He's showing a new level of athleticism, showing a new level of football we haven't seen since his first 2 years in the NFL. Along with that, Daniel Jones is playing for his contract. So I just think that these guys are really going to show something this year, but they're not going to really present that as they have a tough schedule. They play against the Ravens, they play against the Titans, they play against the Colts, they play against a lot of great teams, and I just don't think this year's the year to do it. I think they have a lot of young talent, but they're really going to have to show that in the next following years. Because Brian Daboll, he got left with a mess. And this year's just going to be him picking it up, you know? Fixing the mess. So although it is Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones last year, I think they're really going to show something, but I don't think they're going to do much with it. 6-11, I have the Giants going. Finally, we have the NFC West. Another Super Bowl favorite of mine is the Rams. They didn't really lose anything. They replaced Woods with Allen Robinson. They replaced Vaughn with Bobby Wagner. So, in my opinion, I think they both got upgrades at both positions. And people forget the last time Allen Robinson had an elite quarterback, folks. Elite quarterback. He had a 1,000-plus yard season. 2015, he had Blake Bortles. He had 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. He was leading the NFL in receptions. Then, you have in 2020, He did have a stellar year. 100 receptions, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. See, when he had quarterbacks like Mitch Trubisky, when he had quarterbacks like Blake Bortles, he's never really had a really, really solid quarterback. Even with these guys, he put up insane numbers. And I think now that he has Matthew Stafford, who could really fire the ball as we saw in the Super Bowl, this guy could be elite. Alongside Cooper Kupp, who is the best wide receiver last season, these guys are really going to pack a punch. And I think they kept everything. They have amazing coaching. It's going to be hard for them to really not become an NFC champion this year. Then I have the Niners coming in at 10-7. It is all on Trey Lance's hands right here. They re-signed Debo. Brandon Ayuk is showing explosiveness in camp. Wow, I'm really butchering that word. And they also have Elijah Mitchell, who's due for a breakout year, as he's now finally the cold cut RB1. These guys could really do something, and I think they're going to do it this year, but I just think they're going to come short of becoming that elite team like the Rams. So I have them coming in at 10-7. Following that, I have the Arizona Cardinals. Although you have Hopkins suspended for the first 6 games, Marquise Brown was arrested for DUI, I believe. Once everyone comes back, and once Kyler Murray gets the opportunity to really have a healthy and full team, these guys are going to really do good. And I think Kyler Murray can handle for 6 games. You have James Conner. You have a lot of people to really help you while you're missing. And that's what I like about the team. They have depth. Coming in at 9-8, I think they're going to be decent, but just not as good as last season. And finally, I have the Seahawks. With Drew Locke, who I strongly believe is not a strong quarterback, he lost a quarterback battle to Teddy Bridgewater in the Denver. He's in a quarterback battle right now with Geno Smith, who's always been a true backup. With DK and Lockett there, who show a lot of promise, they didn't even really do anything with a quarterback like Russell Wilson. I doubt they're going to do anything with a quarterback like Drew Locke. With Chris Carson retiring, and the Seahawks have no defensive potential besides Jamal Adams, this team is going to be a mess this year. Their offensive line could be bottom 5, and I think they're just going to come out at 5-12. Although I don't think they're going to be an under 5 loss team, because DK and Lockett could really do something for this team, I just don't think they're going to be great this year. So, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up my predictions. If you stayed around, thank you. This has been our first official football podcast this season. I can't wait to make more. And next episode will be with Luke, hopefully either broadcasting a baseball game or the fantasy football podcast. So I hope you all enjoy your wonderful evening. This will be posted on Friday, hopefully, or Saturday. So enjoy your weekend. Have a great day.